Hello, everyone. This is Kathleen Francis, host of Wise Women. And before we get started with our wonderful guest today, I do want to give credit to this magical music that you're hearing. And I'm going to leave a lot of time for you to hear the whole thing. It's called Only One by Serpins. And this is the extraordinary John Spoon and David Fulford, who have created this amazing music that we get to enjoy. So I want to make sure that I give full credit to these wonderful and talented creators of Only One that you hear when we start and close our show. So today I have once again a guest that I had on before, and I said, I have to have you on again. Her name is Amber Wiltsey, and she's been on a spiritual journey her entire life. She was born and raised in South Orange, New Jersey. She graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in Chemical Engineering from New Jersey Institute of Technology in Newark, New Jersey, which I find amusing knowing what she's all about. So while attending college, she met the love of her life, and they were married in 1973. They spent the next 39 years traveling the world, which included a seven-year residence in Saudi Arabia. So that is what's wonderful. One of the many things that's wonderful about Amber is her depth of experience in her life gives her also the depth of insight. And that's what this show is all about. Now, she attended Rampa School of Enlightenment for 23 years, and she wrote and published her first book, Rampa and Me, One Woman's Journey in a School of Ancient Wisdom. So she wrote her book through a download process in 10 days. I, too, have been to Rampa School of Enlightenment, and I, too, have had downloads that have been extraordinary, and we embrace those wonderful opportunities that are given to us as a gift. Now, while raising her three children and two grandchildren, Amber earned three Bachelor of Arts degrees, Women's Studies, Writing and Self-Publishing, Rampa and Me in her book, the Monastic Studies, Walking as God from Evergreen State College in Olympia, Washington. Now, after her husband's untimely death in 2010, she traveled to India and was initiated in the oneness teachings of Bhagavan and Amma. And she became a facilitator for the oneness movement. She also studied with Brahmalu Melchizedek, who I think many people are aware of, and became an internationally certified teacher of awakening the illuminated heart. Amber's presently facilitating private group sessions on veil walking, waiting for the download to heal your grieving heart. And so, you know, she is somebody that we want to make sure you know how to reach her if this is something that would be helpful to you. She teaches that the pain and the sorrow of grief are connected to the false belief that communication with those who you love, that they've ended, and that death is not a final process, but rather it's the doorway to a new experience for you and the ones you've lost. So your loved ones, our loved ones, are alive and well, and they want to communicate and comfort us. And she conducts workshops on how to become one with father, mother, child principle, connect emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically with your loved ones on the other side, and how to recognize the signs that communication is available and strengthen that connection. So you can follow her on Walking the Veil at Instagram, and we'll give you other information on how to reach Amber if you want to further these interesting concepts and abilities that could be developed through her teachings. So with that said, Amber, so happy to have you on our show again. Welcome to Wise Women.
Hi, how you doing, Kathleen?
Well, I'm burning up here.
Yeah. What's the temperature there?
I know it's Arizona, but Lord above, I'm a Wisconsin girl, and thank God I'm going back home shortly to jump in cold Lake Superior to survive this. And I have to leave my partners back here to suffer to keep, take care of him.
Yeah, well, you know, here
we're burning. We're going to burn. Thanks a lot, Kathleen, leaving us here.
Here in Washington, it's very interesting, but it's been in the morning. It is so cold. I have to sit outside on my front porch with a Patagonia and a winter coat on.
No.
Yes.
You are kidding me.
No. And then by the afternoon, it goes up to 80. And then by the evening, around 6, it's cool again.
Okay, so, we hate you. No, no, we have never had temperatures like this. And then, Jeffrey, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What happened to your car?
Oh, my AC?
Yeah, his air conditioning in his Hummer went out. And we have a half hour drive from the house to the shop.
Oh boy.
So, yeah.
That's not fun.
It's way not fun. You know, and I mean, of course, well, anyway, we will try to do the blue body technique or something. Oh, so Amber and I had the wonderful connection, having both been to Rompa School of Enlightenment and the amazing experiences that we had the ability to enjoy and expand our consciousness with, techniques that I still use. And certainly her wonderful, fun book is something that will be inspiring to everybody. And we're going to make sure that you know how to get a hold of that book, because Amber and I are involved with some other projects together. And she had texted something on one of our group text group connections, and that triggered my remembrance of the importance of making sure that she's on again to share some of her wonderful wisdom with all of you listening out there. Yay! So, do you remember what I got all excited about on that text?
Yes.
Would you mind sharing it?
Are you talking about the connection with Jesus?
Well, that too. That too, and that's alive and well. But you talked about the importance of being really careful about not repeating and reliving negative experiences, mm-hmm. and what that impact had on us. Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, you know, every time we go over a story that has an emotional content to it, we relive the story. And so we recreate it within our reality. And so one of the things...
Now, explain that a little bit so that, you know, not all of our listeners have been through the same experiences you have, that our reference points are so clear. So okay. When you say, when you say they relive that, please give them a little...
You have to, you know, what is the very first thing they said in the Bible that, and I'm not a Bible person, but... the word was spoken, and from the word created reality.
Yes.
When you speak, there's a frequency that goes out from your voice and from your words that vibrates the space around you. Around you is a band of energy which is associated with the spirit that lays within you. And so as you speak the things that you're saying, you vibrate all around you the space. And your divine says, oh, that's what we're talking about. That's what we want to create. And so as you vibrate that space around you, you're creating the reality because you're showing the spirit within you exactly what you really want to have in your life. So every time,
even if you're trying to complain about it, right? Or
yes, because you're still speaking it into your bands around you. You're speaking it, and so you're
okay. Now, when you say bands, people don't understand what bands are. If you wouldn't mind, I really would like people to know and understand.
Okay, so there are energy bands that exist in what most of us know of as the 7 levels of consciousness. And
many references and many, many practices do refer to things like that.
So these 7 bands relate to the 7 kingdoms, which relate to the 7 People call them chakras. Rumpel called them seals of the body.
Yes, yes.
So as you talk about your sexual experience, you're vibrating the first seal. As you talk about your victimization and your pain, you're vibrating the second chakra. As you talk about anger and frustration, you're vibrating your third chakra, which is by the belly button. As you talk about love, you're now vibrating the field around you with love. As you, and that's only love that you start to understand. When you speak of it even more, besides feeling it, but speaking it, you're vibrating the fifth chakra. And when you move into the space of, let's see how I can say this, where you feel like you're becoming lighter and less connected to the physical, you're moving into the sixth chakra, which is a doorway to becoming all you can be. And as you speak or you live in the consciousness of higher understandings where nothing around you can affect you, that you, and it's not because you shut it off, it's because you understand it, because you lived it. You have the wisdom to say, I've lived that, I understand where you're at, but it doesn't affect you anymore. You're now living in the very highest of the chakras of the body. So these are things that we have to understand, that we are powerful. We've been given the power to manifest what we want in our life. And we've been given the voice and the feelings to create what we want. So when a man and a woman come together, you have male, female, you have negative, positive. You have the polarities coming together to create God, which is when a child is conceived. They're conceived out of the mind of God. The same thing happens with the creation you want to manifest in your reality. So wait.
All right. So you're almost saying that our words that we embody and speak out is almost like a child?
What I'm saying to you is that when you use your mind, the words come from the mind, that's male. When you use your feelings, that's female. When you combine words and feelings together into a complete package, you've taken the polarity off it. It's called consciousness and energy. As Rampa used to say, consciousness and energy creates the nature of your reality. The nature of your reality is the life you live and what you manifest in it. So when you take your mind and you combine it with your emotion, you are creating a complete package of which the creation you're talking about can be birthed into a concept, then into physical.
I love that. I mean, I've studied that. I know that. But see, this, what you did is you reminded me and made me realize a connection that I just love. I love that you said that.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. I hope everybody really got that because I, like you, from the time I was little, I was always on a spiritual journey. I didn't know what it was when I was, you know, I can remember talking to my little girlfriends when I was like 6 or 7 saying, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. that was my emergence into, you know, seeking, you know, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Isn't that funny? You know? So yeah, it's so interesting. That's why I just love to talk to you and take away. You took a little spin on something that just really was wonderful for me today. And I hope everybody listening really got that. I mean, that's just a jewel of such importance because, you know, I mean, and we did exercises at the school where we would bring our feelings into, you know, our feelings, our emotion is so important, which is, of course, you know, because I teach acting and
Right.
I bring all of that in, but it's like the thought with the emotion, which of course in Think and Grow Rich, that was also part of the concepts that he presented then, you know? So,
well, it's really important for all of us to remember that the reason we have such a great spirit within us is because we are children of the divine. And as children of the divine, we've been asked to come here and create reality so that the divine understands something it has never understood. Because imagine if you stayed out of the physical. You would never know what holding a child is like. You would never know what falling in love with a partner is like. You would never know what eating a delicious piece of food is like. So we, as representatives of God, have been asked to go and make, as Ramtula used to say, make known the unknown.
Make known the unknown. So in other words, it's like, because I had, you know, I have had some extraordinary experiences I'm so grateful for. And I, when I had done some, you know, heavy meditation, I was out there and I got, oh my God, God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, got bored. And that's why he kind of almost like blew himself up into all these little things called us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, I actually had a direct, nobody taught me that. It was an insight that came when I was doing some heavy meditation.
Yes.
And, you know, and I thought, well, that makes sense. And that's why a lot of the yogis say boredom is a high state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I first heard the words, I thought, well, what the hell does that mean?
Right.
But, you know. Well, yes. Oh, that's so great. Okay,
so
go ahead.
What happens is, you know, what God did is he took his thought process and centered it into an emotion of, I want to experience other things. With that was a creation, and out came all of us. And we are here to bring back the treasures of our experiences back into the treasure chest of the divine.
Oh, yeah.
So when we create in our reality, we are fulfilling the same concept that God did when he created us. We take our mind, we take our emotion, and we turn it inwards, inside, and then out comes a manifestation. Now, a lot of us do this unconsciously. You say, how did that happen to me? I never wanted that to happen. But if you really go back and you contemplate what you were thinking and what emotions went with it, then you'll know how you created the physical reality.
Which is why that which you fear shall come upon you.
Exactly. So
I do. I love tracking my thoughts. You know,
yes.
Because sometimes I forget that I thought that, you know, it's like, oh, I'll think about, oh, it'd be nice to have a Hummer.
Yes,
you know, I might have thought that a year or so ago. Right. And then, oh, there it is. Oh, I would just love it if I had somebody in the house just plunking on a guitar. And then all of
yes.
And I mean, so when you track back, then you can see you're tracking and it, you know, it first of all, it's very fun to see.
Is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what it is taking your own power back.
Ah, and you know, so I always grapple with that. I'm never sure what the hell that means.
Okay, you know, so let's look at this. The people who have overseen this world and made decisions for all of us.
Yeah.
Okay, they understand the power we have. So what
yes.
do they do? They advertise, they tell us things on the media, they tell us things in the news, they tell us things in movies, in videos. And so they know that if we watch that and we live that experience through them, we're going to create what they want for us. Not what we want for us.
Yeah.
What they want for us.
Right,
so
the mass mind.
They already know how powerful we are. So in order to not allow someone to create in your reality, you have to create in your reality yourself. And you have to do that by deciding what it is that you really want to experience, and then go in and put the emotion with the thought and hold it in a state of meditation. Because in a state of meditation, what happens is you move out of polarity and you move into the place where, as you're thinking that thought and feeling that feeling, you send the message back to God. And God says,
so we have an interactive relationship.
Yes, every day.
Yeah.
Every day. And every moment, every night.
Every moment, that's right.
And so when we go to sleep at night, we go on all these adventures, you know.
Oh, God, yes.
And sometimes we remember them and sometimes we don't. If you don't remember them, it's because there's probably so much content in there that you can't bring back into this physical that you can even put words on. So you wake up and you don't, I don't remember what, I never dream or whatever people say. They do dream.
You don't dream?
No, I dream. I'm saying people say, I don't dream.
Oh, people.
Or
yeah.
I never dream, or it's hard for me to dream, or maybe I dream every now and then. It's because they're doing things that they don't know how to track in this physical world with words and concepts, because they're out of the concepts that we understand as human beings.
Yeah.
So when someone starts doing meditation, basically what they're doing is they're taking themselves into the place where divine exists and communicating directly with the divine. No, you don't need anyone else to communicate with God. You just need yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
The divine in you and God are one. And so all you have to do is just go inside, open up the space, and allow that to happen. Did you see recently, maybe the last year or so, there was a cartoon called Soul? S-O-U-L?
Oh, what was it?
S-O-U-L, Soul.
What was it?
It's a cartoon about a man who wants to be a great musician. He's a great musician, but he can never get his opportunity. And he finally gets the opportunity, and just before it happens, he dies. And so his soul goes back, and he doesn't want to be dead. So he tries to find a way to get back here and get back into his body so he can go play the music that night.
Huh.
It's an amazing movie. I watched it last night again.
And, so it's a feature film?
Yes, on Disney. Not that I like Disney, but that's where it's offered. It's by Pixel. Pixar, whatever. But it had such an amazing story to tell and such an amazing message. Because when he finally finds his way to get back and get in the body and he plays that, and he did his dream that he thought was what he came here to do.
Yes.
He finds out that was not what it was. That what it was is to live each day in the moment and enjoy every moment.
Wow.
It's a great movie. It's called Soul.
Soul, S-O-U-L.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to try and find it and watch it.
Yes, yes. Very good.
Well, you know, this world that we're in with so much polarity that's happening. And it's almost, I've always held it as a battle between good and evil. Mm-hmm. It's a consciousness battle. It's a thought battle. You know, I feel like we're in a battle of, you know, who can control the thinking of large groups of people, which of course is what, you know, they've been trying to do, and for some time, you know. But I mean, I have some friends and a close partner here who, you know, sometimes why do we get drawn to watching some of the negative things, you know, like Dateline or mm-hmm. 48 Hours or whatever, and even on on the Yahoo homepage, the headlines are always some terrible, tragic thing we're drawn to see and watch and read. And, you know, at a certain point when I was again in an elevated space, part, you know, again back to God, you know, blowing himself up to little particles to experience things, I also saw that on that level that even the most horrific things are just part of like a playing board of experiences. And I know that, you know, to have joy, I guess we have to have the opposite polarity of something terrible. But that's always been like hard for people. Why does God do that? You know, it's, why is that? And, you know, it's just still a conundrum in a certain way, you know?
Well, for me, I understand God doesn't do any of it. We do it with our thoughts. So again, for me, I don't watch the news. I refuse to have them program my mind. I never watch a bad movie that has terrible things in it. I never watch anything that's horror, ever. I don't pollute my mind with things that I know will create in my reality some place in the brain that eventually I will have to experience myself.
Yes.
Once it's there, you're going to have to experience it because you brought it in and you put it in your brain, and they know that. That's why they make all this horror. That's why they make all this killing. That's why they're programming people, because they're trying to bring you down to your lowest denominator, not allow you to go to your highest denominator. How do you control people? Don't let them experience their divine. Keep them experiencing polarity. So do as best I can not to get caught up in polarity of the media, the polarity of people's thoughts, the polarity of reading. This is how I read a book. I pick up the first chapter. I read it. I read the end. If it's a bad ending, I don't read that book. Forget it. I'm not reading it.
Too cute.
Because I know that if I read it, I'm going to have to experience all their sorrow. I already know what sorrow is.
Yeah.
I already know what pain is. Yeah. I already know what loss is. I don't have to beat myself up with it. I want to raise my energy out of polarity and move into the state where polarities become together and come as one. And that's the state that God exists. God allows us to exist in polarity because we want to learn something. But if you don't need to learn that anymore, it's like my sister said to me one day, I said, you know, this, the man that I was going out with in school, who eventually became my husband, decided to try, you know, marijuana. I didn't agree with it. I said, I don't agree with that. Now, other people now think it's wonderful, but I said, I don't agree with it. He said, well, you know, it makes you relax. I said, look, if I can't do it with my own body, there's something wrong with me. It has nothing to do with putting a substance in here. And so I said, if you're continuing that, we're not going to be together, because I have a projection of where I'm going with my life and has nothing to do with that. And so I was telling my sister about it. I said, you know, he said he wanted to experience it. And, you know, like, why don't I try it? And I said, I'm not interested. And she said, Amber, you don't have to break your leg to know you don't want to do it. Hmm. I said, exactly. You know, some people know what they want inside. I knew from the time I was 11 years old, I was sitting in Sunday school because both my grandmother and grandfather were Methodist ministers.
Oh, wow.
My grandfather was the first Methodist minister on the Eastern Seaboard. So, you know, I'm sitting there and the teacher decides to ask, do any of you know, you know, you're going to get to the dating age soon. Do any of you have any idea of what you want? I said, yeah, I know. She said, you do? I said, yes. The man's going to be dark hair, darker skin, dark eyes, and he's going to be very smart. He's going to know where he wants to go and what he wants to do, or I'm not interested. That was at 11 years old.
Yeah, I was going to reflect on that and comment that you had that kind of internal knowing at that age. I mean, that's crazy.
She was shocked. You know? Really? That specific? I said, that specific. That's what my husband was. And he was the same man. He came back and said, I'm not doing this anymore. I don't like it. I said, thank you. If you don't do it, we can have a relationship. And of course, we were together for a very long time. So I knew what I wanted from the very beginning. I know where I want to go with this life, you know, and I've had sorrows like everybody else along the way.
Yeah.
My parents dying, my husband dying, just had kids die, you know. But I have a projection, and my projection is to keep marching. Don't let go. Don't fall down. Don't feel the victim. Just keep marching. It doesn't matter how hard, just keep marching.
Yes. If you're going through hell, keep on walking.
Exactly.
The devil, go to the other side before the devil knows you're there. I love country western songs, you know, because I have them on all the time in the car, so it's a happy
It's about raising your consciousness. You know, when you get into those situations, it's so easy to become the victim or to feel victimized or feel upset or feel, is this happening to me? I just say, enough. We're not victims anymore. We're moving forward.
Yeah.
And we're going up. We're not going down.
Right. You know, and it is a kind of discipline because, you know, I mean, I have some family members that I love dearly, and they're just lost in their sad story. That's become who they are, and they continually recreate and recreate and recreate these things. And, you know, no matter how many times I try to redirect their energy, and this is the hard part. And I caught myself a few times years ago when I noticed, I had some victimization going on, that pattern that kept showing up. And I was laying in bed with something that, you know, was bothering me and couldn't sleep. And then but when you can catch yourself, it's even better. And what I did was I thought, God darn it, look at how miserable I am. There's something about this that I'm enjoying.
Yep. That's exactly it.
And it was like, I caught myself. And this was before Rampha and everything else. And, you know, but I guess the person has to come to that realization themselves, because I've hammered on some of my relatives that just... Oh, you know, and they're so gifted, and yet they want to keep running that scenario of, you know, oh, my father, you know, did this, and my brother did this, and it's like, oh my God, you know, they have no idea what life, they wouldn't have a clue of what life would be like without their story.
Right.
That sad story.
Right. And what I found, because you can't just throw the story out. Because if you throw the story out, you've lost the wisdom that you could gain from the story.
Yes, that's another part of it.
You have to go into the story and don't just make it superficial. You want to be in that story, go all the way in and really embrace it. And then ask yourself, okay, God, what am I to learn from this? What is this about? And all of a sudden, a light will go on and it will be done. You know, and a lot of times I'll have a song come to me, a song I don't like, and it'll play over and over. I say, what the heck? I don't want this in my mind. And it'll go, I say, enough. And it keeps going. And finally I surrender, say, okay, why is this song playing in my head? And all of a sudden I get an answer and then the song's gone. It's a messenger. It's like a friend of mine said, Amber, you're just a messenger. Or that person was just a messenger. What's the message?
Yeah, it's
so
true.
Sometimes the story is the message, but you have to, instead of keep repeating the story, you have to say, why is this bothering me? Why does this hurt so much? Why is there so much pain around this? Why am I doing this over and over again? And then you have to wait and let God answer. It's like I told you in one of the other podcasts, you know, it's like these, I was only like six. I was sitting on my tricycle, you know, and there were all these ants around my feet. And I didn't want them biting me. And so I started stamping on them like that. And all of a sudden, this voice says, Amber, everything is God. And I went, huh? And that from that point on, I've never been able to do anything to hurt anything. I pick up bees. I catch spiders in my house and take them outside and put them in the bushes. I don't kill the flies unless they get really open. Then I put fly tape. I said, if you want to come in here and you're going to stay like this, you're going to have to go to the fly tape.
Yeah.
I try not to do that. It's like, would you want to go maybe?
I know.
The way I used to catch flies a long time ago. When I had flies in my house, I'd get a squirt gun. I don't know if you know this, but if you squirt a fly, they can't fly because it makes their wings wet. And so I put them outside.
Oh.
I have all kinds of techniques.
You do. Yeah, I look at, you know, insects also. It's a little bit hard. I do admit I do kill the scorpions in my house.
They're a little dangerous.
Because I'm not worried about me. I'm just worried about my dogs if they got bit, you know? But, you know, I love that. Now, can we talk a little bit about this technique, the veil walking technique?
Sure. Mm-hmm. So, the way I developed this is because my husband and I were very connected. And just a short story, but when we were in Ramtha school, there's a thing called field work. And you put your blindfold down, you make a card that you really want to create. It's a dream. And two cards get put on the fence with your name. And then you have to spin around, and you don't put your card on the field, someone else does. So there could be maybe 2,000 or 3,000 cards on the fence. And now you have to find yours. You may find things that look like yours, but you may have to find yours. And so I'm going across the field.
And these are with blindfolds on.
Blindfolds on. And you have to feel the pull from your heart, because that's where your God exists. And so you're walking and you're holding the dream. And I get up to the fence and I picked up the card. It wasn't mine. I looked to the right and there was my husband.
Oh.
I said, and he was looking at me. I said, Ed, what are you doing? He said, you can see me? I said, of course I can see you. He said, well, no one else on the field can see me because I've gone invisible. I go up to the people in the field that are the Red Guard, and I stand in front of them. They can't see me. I wave my arms and hands in front of them. They don't see me. It would figure you're the only one who could see me.
Wow.
So when he went to the other side, he was trying to contact me in the first 2 weeks, and I had this in my ear, and I knew he was talking to me, and I started to get angry. I said, Ed, you know what? Enough. I've had enough of this. And so I said, you have to make yourself clearer because I can't hear a word you're saying. And that's when he directed me, as I told you, to the computer, and there's a song, and he gave me the answer, what he was saying. Hey, have you ever tried really reaching out for the other side? I said, oh, so that's what you're trying to say. And so I decided to name myself Veil Walker because he was on one side of what is this invisible veil we see as a veil. It may not be a veil at all, but in our mind, we see a wall. And mine was a veil. And I saw myself walking through the veil to communicate with him and coming back.
And so you visualized doing that.
Yes. As there was a thing we did in the discipline in the school called doing the walk. And in the walk, you walk And again, this is again, vibrating the area around you. Speak out loud what your manifestation is. And so I'd walk and say, I am a veil walker. I can walk through the veil, interact with my husband, and come back again. And I don't have to die to do that.
Yeah.
And so I would walk that. And so I'd vibrate the space, the energy field around me. That was me. I vibrated with that vibration that I could do this. And so I started being able to know that he was around me. And so I went to a psychic. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, because I lost you totally. So I went to a psychic, and she started talking what Ed was trying to say to me, because I knew he was there. I knew we were communicating, but I couldn't hear the exact words. And so after about a year, I learned how to hear and do what she was doing by me walking the veil and saying I was, and connecting inside my head with him. And one of the things that she suggested, she said, because Amber, you're so smart and you're so logical that you're blocking your own ability to hear him. So I said, okay, are you there still?
I'm here. Yeah.
Okay.
So you can hear me. I was trying to stop the flashing.
Oh, that's fine.
On my end.
Yeah. So anyway, what I did is, she said, you need to get a pendulum and ask yes and no questions. And so by doing that, and first she said, before you do that, what you have to do is you have to only call forth who you want here. So I'd always say, I'm calling forth Edward Allen Wiltsey only. My husband is on the other side. No one else is allowed to answer me through this pendulum.
Wow.
And that was specific, so no other entity could communicate with me. And then I would ask, show me yes, show me no. And then I'd ask him questions. And I started getting answers to things that that I knew were correct.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I built up a neural net, and a neural net is connections in the brain that that you create when you have an experience.
Right.
And so I started creating experiences that built up a net within my brain that said, I can do this.
Yep.
I can communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing the walk and by doing the communication with him, one day, all of a sudden, he just manifested right down in the middle of my living room.
Wow.
And then he disappeared again. But I saw him. I can't even tell you what he had on, you know.
Wow.
It was, you know, a sweater with, you know, those little diamonds on it in different colors across the front.
Yes.
Of the sweater.
Yes. Kind of like the chairs behind you.
Yes. And it was light green, and his pants were light green. So, I mean, I saw it totally. He was like manifested right in the middle of my living room. And it was right after that he said that I needed to go to India and spend 6 weeks in India because we had something we had to do together.
Mm.
And so when I did that, I started an even deeper journey, because when I went there, every day we did a discipline, and in that discipline, my husband would come through and we would dance with each other in this discipline.
Oh.
Yes. And I could feel his hand in my hand, and his hand around my waist and my hand on his shoulder. And I knew it was happening. And now this is a year of me claiming I'm communicating with my husband from the other side. And everyone else is saying, you got to let him go. You got to let him go. And I go into my heart. My heart says, no, that's not what I'm supposed to do. So for 6 weeks, I'm doing this. And I was there a year after he passed, exactly the same moment that he passed. The 2 months he was in the hospital, and then when he passed, that's when I was in India the next year.
Wow.
After he passed. And so I'm there, and it's the day that he passed, a year before, and I'm crying. And this person says to me, the leader, what's the matter? I said, well, today's the day my husband passed and I can't get hold of anyone in the States, not my family, not friends. And so I'm really feeling alone and I'm feeling really sad. And I was crying for 6 weeks. I cried every day for 6 hours in the morning while they gave the teaching.
Wow. And
I didn't know why, but nonstop, 6 hours while they're teaching me. Tears are rolling down my face. And so she said, well, you need to let go of him. And I said, no, I'm not supposed to. Said, well, Bhagavan says you must let go of those. I said, no, I'm not supposed to. My heart says no. So then she said, okay. So then I walked over and this other teacher said, what's going on? I told him, he said, you need to ask Bhagavan and Amma to help you release him. I said, no, I'm not supposed to.
So you were clear.
So then it was time for lunch, and thinking, I think I'm crazy. I think.
Well, yes, many of us wonder if we are crazy.
Because everyone's telling me to let go of Ed, but my inside says no. But everyone says he has to go on his journey. So in the afternoon, the main teacher comes in, just underneath Bhagavan, who's also totally awakened. And I go up to him and I say, I need to ask you a question. And I start to ask. He said, that's not the question you want to ask. Ask the real question. I said, well, your teachers are telling me I've got to let go of my husband. And he said, absolutely not. I said, what?
Oh, wow.
He said, absolutely not. You and your husband are on a journey together. He's been with you every day in these 6 weeks. He stands next to you to make sure you get every bit of the teaching. I said, so I'm not to let go of my husband? No, you are not. You and your husband, I said, but they say he's on a journey. He is. But he's made a path next to him for you. And he's pulling you along the path with him.
Mm.
And she said, you're not to let go. And he said, don't you dance with him every day?
Mm.
So he actually saw me dancing with him 6 weeks in a row.
Wow.
I said, yes, I do. He says, no. I said, thank you. Thank you so much. So it was a confirmation. I'm a really stubborn person.
Which is what some of your most wonderful characteristics.
And if someone tells me to do something, that's exactly the thing I'm not going to do. If someone tells me this is what I think is good for you, I'll say, really? Well, that's thank you so much for the information, but I think I'll just go with what's inside of me.
Are you a Taurus?
No, I am a Libra.
Oh, my. Okay.
So, anyway, that type of, fervent, I'm doing this, is what helped me to be able to do this, but also my ability to know my husband so well, to be able to communicate. Even when he was invisible, I was the only one who could see him. So what is someone on the other side? They're invisible to you.
So right.
To be able to know someone and love them so much that you're able to make that connection no matter where they are. That's what helped me to understand. And I realized that when I would start, feeling like I wanted to weep, it's because Ed was standing right next to me.
And
so that's what I communicate to people, ways that they can use to get confirmation that they're getting a communication. And then know that if all of a sudden out of nowhere you start to feel like weeping, it's because those that love you on the other side are standing next to you to communicate and to comfort you. And that's why the tears come all of a sudden out of nowhere. So, that's what I teach in the class, the story of how I did it and the story of what I learned, and to let everyone know that death is not the final end to everything.
Right.
And the way I relate this to people is, look, when the pilgrims came here from Europe, they knew they would never see their family ever again. That was a final goodbye because the trip across the ocean was so treacherous. A lot of times they didn't make it.
Right.
And so it was like death, because when they came here, they never saw their family again. And so one was on one side of the veil and one was on the other.
Sure.
But over the years, we've learned that we had faster ships and then, right, you know, prop planes and then, right, jet planes and then Concords.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to get back to Europe or to get back to the States was no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to learn how to walk through the veil is just learning the technology that's inside of you, that's already exists, to be able to communicate with every dimension, whether people are alive in the physical body or not, because we never die in our spirit. Only the body, which is a garment, a clothing we wear on this planet, passes.
Right.
But who we are as these divine beings never die.
Yes.
So that's the journey.
Amber, please tell everyone how they can connect with you.
It's called, my Gmail is walkingtheveil@gmail.com.
walkingtheveil@gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay. And you talked about the possibility of doing workshops here in Sedona.
Yes.
I know you had another friend that also does some wonderful work. So, yes, you know, we're looking forward to that possibility, and certainly we'll let people know. I did have Sonia Belil, who is the director for the Sedona Creative Life Center and for the Sedonia Conscious Living Center. Both facilities are absolutely stunningly beautiful. And it would be such a great thing for people to be able to come here to this beautiful Red Rock country and, right, experience this work.
But we are going to put that out on Walking the Veil, that we're open to do that in the fall. The big thing is, to come there, we'd have to know that there would be enough people that want to take the class so we can come down there. So,
yes,
if someone wants to organize that, you know, knowing after they listen to this and want to contact me, we can create something, I'm sure.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Now, there's also potential of doing it, you know, on Zoom. It's not as easy, but it will probably be the same. But when I'm with people, my energy also helps.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. We all carry, as we learned so much in Rampa's School of Enlightenment and other, you know, the energy field around us impacts people so much more than, you know, than most people can recognize.
Well, that's why Rampa always said that when a Christ walks through the marketplace, he changes to everyone in the marketplace.
Wow.
Yes, it's because our energy goes out and vibrates the field around others as we walk.
Wow.
And I practice this many times. If I go to a big event where there are a lot of people,
yes,
like, you know, I open up my heart and shine with a golden sunshine right out to the center of my chest. And I walk through the crowd and everyone's leaning down, doing stuff. And all of a sudden, as I walk by, they all look up and smile at me.
Ah.
I don't have to say a word.
Yes.
All I have to do is walk with my energy. And they feel it. And they wonder
they
what
feel it.
That.
I know. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I sure do. Well, this has been wonderful. And it seems like the hour just flies by. And I so appreciate you taking the time again to be on our Wise Women podcast here at PRN.
Thank you, Kathleen. I really appreciate being invited.
Oh, for sure. So much, many more things that we can do together and share. And we'll see again another time when maybe you have the time to spend time to share these beautiful insights with people.
Yeah, so, well, if we get to go down to Utah, you know about that experience.
Oh,
and we're not
yes.
too far away from you.
That's right. And that's another whole story that you and I maybe can, you know, have a private conversation with there. You'll find the things that I'll share with you about that to be quite interesting, I'm sure. Well, with that, Amber, thank you so much for being on Wise Women.
Thank you, Kathleen.
You're so welcome, and I hope everybody has a magical and wonderful, insightful week ahead, and I'll see you again next week. And once again, enjoy this wonderful music by Serpens, John Spoon and his partner. And here once again is Only One. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you again soon.
Bye. Bye-bye.